and then she plunged the knife between her breasts. There was a flash of light that seemed to come from within her eyes, and she collapsed to the ground, dead. Richard and Kaylin both took a step back in wide-eyed shock and horror. Sister Verna bent and pulled the knife from the dead woman. She stood and looked at Richard.
"As we told you, this is no game."
She slipped the silver knife into her cloak.
"You must bury her body yourself. If you let another do it for you, you will have nightmares for the rest of your life. Nightmares caused by magic. There is no cure for them. Don't forget, you must bury her yourself."
Both sisters pulled their hoods up.
"You have been offered the first of three chances and refused. We will return."
The two sisters glided to the door and were gone. The sword's point slowly settled to the ground. Richard stared at the dead woman, tears running down his face.
"I won't wear a collar again," he whispered to no one but himself. "Not for anyone."
With labored movements, he retrieved a small shovel and a handle from his pack and hooked them onto his belt. He then rolled Sister Grace onto her back, folded her hands across her, and lifted her lifeless form in his arms. One arm slipped from its place, loose, swinging. Her head hung down, limp. Her dead eyes stared, black hair dangled. There was a small blossom of blood on the front of her white blouse. Richard's pained eyes sought Kaylin.
"I'm going to bury her. I would like to go alone."
Kaylin nodded and watched him shoulder the door open. After it had been pushed shut, she sank to the ground and started crying. Chapter 10. She was sitting, staring into the fire when Richard came back. He had been gone a long time. After Kaylin had stopped crying, she had gone to tell Savadlin and Wesselin what had happened, and then came back to the spirit house to wait for Richard. They had told her to come get them if she needed anything. Richard sat down next to her and put his arms around her, his head on her shoulder. She ran her fingers through the back of his hair and held him close. She wanted to say something, but was afraid to say anything, so she just held him.
"I hate magic," he whispered at last. "It's going to come between us again."
"We won't let it. We just won't. We will think of something."
"Why did she have to kill herself?"
"I don't know,"
Kaylin whispered. Richard took his arms away and fingered some of Nissel's leaves out of his shirt pocket. He sat chewing them as he gazed into the fire, a slight frown of pain on his face.
"I feel like running away, but I don't know where to go. How do you run away from something inside you?"
Kaylin rubbed her fingers back and forth on his leg.
"Richard, I know this is hard for you to hear, but please, listen. Magic isn't bad."
He didn't object, so she went on.
"How people use it is sometimes bad, like the way Darkin Rawl used it. I have had magic all my life. I've had to learn to live with who I am. Do you hate me because I have magic?"
"Of course not."
"Do you love me despite my magic?"
He thought a minute.
"No. I love everything about you, and your magic is part of you. That was how I got past the Confessor's magic. If I had loved you despite your power, I wouldn't have been accepting you for who you are. Your magic would have destroyed me."
"So you see, magic isn't all bad. The two people you love most in the world have magic. Zed and me. Please listen. You have the gift. It is called a gift, not a curse. It is a wonderful, rare thing. It could be something used to help others. You have already used it to help others. Maybe you should try to think of it in this way, instead of trying to fight something that can't be fought."
He stared into the fire a long time as she smoothed his pant leg. She could hardly hear him when at last he spoke.
"I won't wear a collar again."
Kaylin's gaze went to the Aegil. The red leather rod hung from a fine gold chain at his neck, swinging slightly with his breathing. She knew the Aegil was used to torture people, but she didn't know how. She only knew she didn't like him wearing it. Kaylin swallowed.
"Did the Mord Sith make you wear a collar?"
He stared unblinking at the fire.
"Her name was Denna."
She turned to him, but he didn't respond.
Did Denna make you wear a collar?"
"Yes."
A tear ran down his cheek.
"She used it to hurt me. It had a chain on it. She hooked the chain to her belt and led me around by that collar like an animal. When she would attach the chain to some resting place, I couldn't move it. She controlled the magic that gives me pain when I use the sword to kill. She could amplify the magic, the pain. It prevented me from so much as putting tension on the chain.
I tried. I tried hard. You can't imagine how much it hurt. Then I made me put the collar around my own neck.
She made me do a lot of things.
But the headaches will kill you. The sisters said the collar will stop the headaches and help you learn to control the gift.
They said that was one of the reasons. They also said there are two more reasons for the collar. I don't know what those other two reasons are.
Kaelin, I know you think I'm being foolish.
I think I'm being foolish, too. My head tells me the same things you are saying, but my insides tell me something altogether different.
Kaelin reached out and took the Aegil in her fingers, rolling it back and forth.
Because of this? Because of what Denna did?
He nodded, still staring at the fire.
Richard, what does this do?
Richard looked to her at last. He gripped the Aegil in his fist.
Touch my hand. Don't touch the Aegil, just my hand.
Kaelin reached out and put her fingers against his fist. She jerked back with a yelp of pain. She shook her wrist, trying to ease the sting.
Why didn't it hurt before when I touched it?
Because it was never used to train you.
Then why isn't it hurting you to hold it?
Richard still had his fist around the middle of the red leather rod.
It is. It hurts whenever I hold it.
Kaelin's eyes widened.
You mean it's hurting you right now? Like when I touched your hand?
The pain of the headache was in his eyes.
No. My hand was shielding you from what it really feels like.
She reached out again.
I want to know.
He dropped the Aegil.
No. I don't want it to hurt you like that. I don't want anything to ever hurt you like that.
Richard, please. I want to know. I want to understand.
Richard stared into her eyes and then let out a breath.
Is there anything you ask I wouldn't do?
He took the Aegil in his fist again.
Don't grip it. You may not be able to let go quick enough. Just touch it.
Hold your breath and keep your teeth together so you don't bite your tongue. Tense your stomach muscles. Kaelin's heart pounded as her hand went toward the Aegil. She didn't want to feel the pain. It had hurt enough just to touch his hand. But she wanted to know because it was part of who he was now. She wanted to know everything about him, even the things that hurt.
It felt like touching a bolt of lightning. The pain shot up her arm, exploding in her shoulder. She screamed as the shock threw her on her back. She rolled over on her face, gripping her shoulder with her other hand. She couldn't move her arm. Her hand tingled and shook. She was shocked and frightened by the sheer power of the pain. She cried into the dirt as Richard's hand touched her back in sympathy. She cried, too, because now she understood just a little what had been done to him. When at last she was able to sit up, he was still watching her, still holding the Aegil in his fist.
It hurts like that for you to hold it?
Yes.
She hit him on the shoulder with her fist.
Let go of it! She cried. Stop it!
He released the Aegil, letting it hang again.
It helps distract me from the headaches sometimes to touch it. Believe it or not, it helps.
You mean the headache hurts more than that?
He nodded. If it wasn't for what Denna taught me about pain, I would be unconscious right now. Denna taught me how to control pain, how to tolerate it so she could give me more. She tried to hold back the tears. What you felt was the least of what the Aegil can do. He picked it up again and touched the tip to the inside of his other forearm. Blood gushed from under the Aegil. He took it away.
It can strip the flesh right off you. It can break your bones. Denna liked to use it to crack my ribs. She would press it against me, and I could hear the bone crack. They still aren't healed. It still hurts to lie down or when you hug me tight enough. It can do a lot of other things, too. It can even kill with a touch.
He stared at the fire.
Denna shackled my wrists, and later locked my arms behind me, and held me up with a rope from the ceiling. She used the Aegil on me for hours at a time. I would beg, until I was hoarse, for her to stop. She never did. Not once. There was no way for me to fight back, nothing I could do to stop her. She trained me. She taught me until I sometimes thought I had no blood or breath left. I begged her to kill me, to end the pain. I would have done it myself, but she used magic to prevent it. She had me kneel in front of her and beg her to use the Aegil. I would have done anything she said. She had a friend who came along sometimes, so they could share the fun.
Kaelin sat frozen, hardly able to breathe.
Richard, I...
Every day, she led me by the collar to a place where she could hang me up by a rope, a room where she could use the Aegil on me without distraction, or it didn't matter so much if my blood got everywhere. Sometimes, she did it from the first thing in the morning until night. And then at night...
That is what wearing a collar means to me. You can tell me about how much sense it makes, about how it will help me, and about how I have no choice, but that is what wearing a collar means to me. I know exactly what your shoulder feels like right now. It feels like the skin has been burned, and the muscle has been torn, and bone is splintered. That is what it feels like to wear a Mord Sith's collar, only everywhere on your body, all at once, and all day long. Add to that the thought that you are helpless to stop it, that you can never escape, that you'll never again see the only person you will ever love. I would rather die than put a collar around my neck again.
Kaelin rubbed her shoulder. It felt just as he had described it. She couldn't think of anything to say. She hurt too much inside to say anything. So she sat and watched him look at the fire as tears ran down her face. She ached for him. And then she heard herself ask something she had promised herself she wasn't ever going to ask.
Denna took you for her mate, didn't she?
She wished she could call the words back, and at the same time she didn't. Richard didn't flinch,